Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
What's up, everybody? This is Scott Yeager here with another edition of Challenge Mania. This episode is brought to you by Challenge Mania Seattle. That's right. We are finally making our debut in the Pacific Northwest, and tickets just went on sale today. That's right. Stop what you're doing. Go to challengemania.live. Get your tickets because they're going fast. They're already half gone. Patrons scooped up over half of them with the pre-sale. It's going to be Sunday, July 9th. Derek and I will be joined by Corey Lay, Kendall Shepard, and Darrell Taylor at Art Marble 21 from 2 to 6 on Sunday, July the 9th. That's right. It's going to be a VIP party. We will do some Q&A and some chats, but it's going to be a four-hour meet and greet. Everyone's VIP. All tickets come with meet and greet. You get to meet everybody. Everybody gets the event poster. We'll do trivia. We'll do some giveaways. It's going to be a really good time. And every ticket comes with complimentary appetizers for the start of the party. So go to challengemania.live today. Get your tickets for Challenge Mania Seattle on Sunday, July the 9th. All right, you didn't come for me. You came for D. So he is the Messi to my Pele. Rest in peace, Mr. Derek Kaczynski. How you doing?
Oh, I thought you were going to say something like...
The Messi to my Fessy?
I thought you were going to say something like Ken Griffey Jr.
That's a good one. I should have went with that. Although what's so funny is, to me, the second most famous Seattle Mariner is not... I don't know, whoever it would be. I don't know, Edgar Martinez, whoever. It is the fake player that hit cleanup after Griffey in the Griffey video game. I believe his name was JT Hutt. He was this jacked up white dude, and you could swing bombs. And so I don't know if you ever played this game, D, but it was Ken Griffey Jr.'s baseball game. I forget the name, Super Nintendo. And Griffey was like the only real player in the game. And the rest were like fake, like guys on the Yankees were named B Bomber and shit. And then the guy who hit up after Griffey, I want to say his name was JT Hutt.
I thought it was Jay Buhner. Was it not Jay Buhner?
I thought it was JT Hutt. But anyway, this guy would crush bombs. And he's my second favorite Seattle Mariner of all time, even though he's not a real person. So
yeah, but you know,
he's
you know
the JT Hutt. He's the JT Hutt to my Ken Griffey Jr. Derek.
I feel like it's Jay Buhner. But did you know that Randy Johnson? You could have went Ken Griffey Jr. to my Randy Johnson. One just offense.
Could have done that.
Offense, defense.
I went soccer because our guest on the podcast today, D, is 5-0 in eliminations. He's crushing it on ride or dies. But as he will confirm, in the true sense of the term, he's not necessarily a professional soccer player, although he does have an illustrious soccer history. Mr. Horacio Gutierrez is here today. It's going to be a great chat with him. Talk about that epic balls in against Jordan, his time on ride or dies, how he got on reality TV. Lots of fun stuff. Lots of Laurel talk. So good stuff we got today with Horacio.
Yeah, solid pod. Glad this guy's a part of the challenge universe. I don't know in the future what people are going to do with him because he just really seems like he's probably good at everything. Such a nice guy. So his social game is going to be on point. This guy has, all the makings of being great and, awesome start. So this is pretty long one.
Let's get to it.
It's full.
One more thing I got to say, we did add Wes Bergman to the already loaded lineup of Tech and Dan Walsh, as well as Nehemiah and Sylvia to Challenge Mania Laugh, Kansas City Improv on Saturday, February 18th. Tickets going fast. Wes will be involved in the challenge panel that we do at the end. Q&A, you'll get to ask Wes whatever you want. I'll talk some reality TV after the stand-up we're going to do, and then he will also stick around for the meet and greet. So tickets available at challengemania.live. To that, to our viewing party for Ride or Dies in Miami, Florida on February 1st, as well as Bowl in the Bay on May 5th. Philly is sold out, but as I mentioned, Seattle on sale today, challengemania.live. Get tickets to that as well. We're going to be all across the globe. We'll be in Texas in August. Tickets are not on sale. We haven't formally announced that one, but you will hear us chatting with Horacio about it a bit at the end of this podcast. So follow him on social media if you want to tell him you heard him on the podcast. We love it when you guys do that. He is at Horacio Gutierrez Jr. And of course, you know where to find us. He is at Derek MTV on all platforms. I'm at Shot of Jaeger on Twitter, at Scott of Jaeger on Instagram. If you want to join the Pod Squad, vote for the Challenge Mania Awards. Help us put together the nominees. You can be a part of the nominating committee if you go diesel over at challengemaniacs.com. Lots of fun stuff. And it's a good time, not just this month, but next month as well. If you're wondering how did maybe Seattle sold out, Philly sold out, how did you miss out on VIP tickets? Well, patron pre-sales are how you missed out on the tickets. And we do a diesel level pre-sale as well as a regular all patron pre-sale every month for every single on sale we do. And there are going to be quite a few of them in February. So good time to go to challengemaniacs.com. All right, D, let's get to Horacio. What do you say?
Let's go.
All right, everybody, joining us on the podcast today, we've had a whole slew of the rookies from the Challenge Ride or Dies, but somehow we have not had this man on. But it's a good thing because he's still racking up iconic elimination wins. He got his fifth on this Wednesday's episode where he took down one of the GOATs, if I do say so myself. Joining us on the first time on the podcast, rookie standout Horacio is here. How are you?
Hey, Scott, Derek, good to hear you from you guys, and thank you for having me.
Nah, thanks for being here. Thanks for putting on a show. Thanks for, you know, basically what it feels like right now. So for everyone that's listening at home, Horacio has now just gone 5-0 in eliminations in one season. He's tied only three other people, ironically, also rookies that had gone 5-0 in one season, which was Sarah Grayson, Casey and Wes, who were a team on Fresh Meat, and only joining a few other people who have done five eliminations in one season. One being myself, Natalie Negrati, which Scott, I don't know if you remember that. Natalie and Paulie were also in five eliminations. I don't know. This is Wikipedia. And that's it.
That was in the one we talked about the other day, Final Reckoning, which was a lot of those were Redemption House eliminations, D.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll kind of count those. We're good. That's a debate. That's a debate, right? So
it's an elimination. It counts.
That's what I'm saying. There are, you know, like we talk about this all the time. Like, oh, you know, if you get eliminated, but you don't go home, does it count as an elimination? You know, I still think that they do.
100%.
But like the Wikipedias of the world, they for some reason are getting kind of lazy and just don't want to count those. Like, for example, so look, being a new guy, right, who's been involved in sports his whole life, it seems like we'll get to that part of your story. You're watching this game and you're playing in the game. How would you say this last elimination with Jordan would count on an elimination record? Also, add what the three-way elimination means on a elimination record spectrum. How would you sort of program this into a system if you were, you know, putting all the data down, being a competitor that's watched it and experienced it?
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty tough just because we obviously didn't know what was going on backstage of like, I eliminated Kenny, I eliminated Jordan, and then seeing him come back, it's like, part of me did believe, like, do my eliminations even count? Like, they're back. But at the end of the day, I mean, the title of it was elimination. So even this three-way elimination that's going on, it was, I think, an easy win for Fessy and Mariah. but it was an elimination at the end of the day. You know, it still counts on his record, on her record. So, you know, I just got to just count it. Simple as
I agree. I agree. Okay. So I agree that Kenny gets a loss, in that, you know, fourth elimination that you went in against him. Mm-hmm. You obviously get a win. Jordan gets a loss, an elimination loss. You get an elimination win. But in this three-way elimination, I think that obviously Fessy and Mariah get an elimination win. But does Jordan and Anissa get a loss?
Yeah.
And does Kenny and Casey actually get a loss? I kind of feel like since they're still in the game, it kind of cancels out. Like, I feel like you kind of got to wait for what happens next week. Then I think you give that team the loss. Whoever loses next week, I think they get the loss. But, you know, that's very debatable. Like,
yeah, 100%. It is a weird situation. And I remember talking even to Jordan, and it was like, how do you count this stuff? Like, do you count it as a loss? Like, I don't know. It's a very debatable situation. I personally,
it's a good thing it doesn't actually affect like your, because not in real sports, but in a lot of sports like football and things like that, like people will get like bonuses in their contract if they have like, you know, 10 touchdowns or whether they have four catches. And so this stuff and the distinction between this stuff actually does matter. It's a good thing in the challenge world. It's not like, well, if you win five eliminations, we'll give you a 30K bonus, because if that was the case, then this conversation would matter. And in the scheme of things, it kind of doesn't matter that much. Right.
Hey, I'll tell you, I would have loved that. If it was like win five eliminations, here's a raise, I would have loved it.
That's the next evolution of the game. If we did that, if there was like other, it's, I mean, they've had seasons where they've tried to do the bank where if you win dailies, you get to build up a bank. And then if you lose, that money goes to the person who beat you and things like that. I don't think they've ever quite nailed it though. I don't think they've ever quite gotten that to where it actually matters. Derek once went into a season, beat a guy who had 25 grand on him, and Derek didn't see a dollar of it. He just had to go back to the airport with a bunch of bruises.
No, I actually went straight to physical therapy.
Straight
months.
To PT. Here you go. 25,000 bruises is what you got instead. Wait, Horacio, let me ask you. So when you were called for the show, what was the, did you have any knowledge of the challenge? Were you a fan of the show? Tell us a little bit about your background and where you were in your life when you got called, because now we're talking about all this stuff, the X's and O's, the eliminations, this and that, what counts, what doesn't count. It's a lot, especially if you're not privy to the world at all. So how privy to this world were you?
To be honest, I was unaware of the challenge. Like, I had you know, I'd seen MTV before and I had seen previews of the challenge, but I've never actually sat down and watched an entire season. So to me, it was like, when I get this call, it's like, okay, and I gotta find out what I'm getting myself into, you know. And at the time, I was just kind of just traveling around. I had just finished my previous show, well, maybe like 8 months prior, I had finished my other show. And
which is what?
It's called Exatlón. And it's on Telemundo. It's kind of like it's a mix of American Ninja Warrior with like Survivor in a sense. So every single day you were showing up and running these obstacle course races. And then at the end of the obstacle course, you would have this like aiming portion. So say like you finish the obstacle, and then it's like, all right, you have to make two basketball shots. Then you have to knock down I don't know, these pins with like a baseball throw, and then you got to solve like a little puzzle. So little things like that. And that was on the daily. And I did that show for about 6 months. It was a long one.
And what the hell? Six months?
Yeah. And to be honest, I got there late. People were there for 8 months.
What the, how do you live? Like, do you live in a house? Is it pretty similar to the challenge? Like, you guys are all living in a house together, and then you guys compete in a race every day, every other day. Is it like similar? Do you guys have interviews like you guys do in the challenge? How similar is it?
It's not that similar, because we don't have that reality factor. So out there, we were going out and competing every single day. We only had Saturdays off. sometimes we'd be running, I guess, filming two shows a day. So one in the morning, one in the at night. And the living situation was at least once per week, you would play for what they call the Fortaleza, which was pretty much like the mansion. And so if your team won, you would obviously go to the house where you had an AC, you had a chef, you had hot water, you had a pool, little things like that. And if you lost, you go to the cabin. And the cabin was the complete opposite. You know, you had to take like cold bucket showers. You had no AC. You know, there's the, I don't even know if you want to call them beds. There were, I mean, you're pretty much living in a little jail cell. And so obviously every single week, it's like, all right, you want to go back to that house. You want to go back to the mansion. And every single day you would play for, so like the first day I arrived, we played for a car. Like, all right, so if you win, you get a car. The next day, if you win, you get $5,000. Next day, if you win as a team, because this was also a team competition.
How many people per team?
Per team, you started off with, I think, like, I think it was like 16. And then as obviously every single Sunday was elimination. And then the final week, it would turn individual. It would be like, all right, everybody against everybody, whatever teammates made it. And then boom, it was only two teams. But like I said, final week, individual.
So for 6 months.
6 months, yeah.
And doing something every day. So every day you guys would win something like to take home. Like, so like right now, it's possible that you have had won a car that's sitting in your driveway and $5,000 that just went straight to your bank account like that.
Yeah, exactly like that every single day. And
they gave away 16 cars in the first episode.
No. So like when you would play for, when you would play for something as big as a car, it would go individual.
Okay.
Right. So, but most of the time it was as a team. So like you would play for, like, sometimes be like, all right, today, if you win, you would go to the money wall. It's like, okay. And if you go to the money wall, obviously you go as a team, and in the money wall, you could win up to 50,000 and you can split it as a team. Obviously the less amount of players, the more money each one. Yeah, so there was times where it was only a few of us and we won 50,000. So each one of us would get $9,000. It's like, great.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And is that to use during your stay on the show, or is it like just separate?
No. It's prize money. Yeah, it's prize money. It's completely, once you're out, that's when they give you the money. When you're in there, it's, I think, the biggest difference that I saw between the show that I did, Exatlón, and the challenge was the challenge. You have, I guess, a bit more freedom. I mean, we get to go out a little bit, you know, we go to the clubs, we do these little events. We went bowling at one point and stuff. And in this other show, like, you were locked in all the time. Like, they didn't want you to talk to absolutely anybody. You were just there with the people, your teammates, and that's it. No communication to the outside world at all. I think during the 6 months I was there, I had maybe two or three calls. and it was like 5 minutes each. So it was definitely very, very different. And from when I was in the challenge, we're like, oh man, I can't do this. This is way too long. And I'm like, oh man, this is a breeze for me right now. I'm chilling.
That's funny because yeah, as time has gone on, the challenges, and you've probably heard from the people, more experienced people that you lived with, that it's gotten a lot more strict. Like you can't just go, you know, jogging down the street in front of your house and then everybody, like you can't just go into town and come back, you know, stuff like that. You know, like whatever.
Sounds a lot like prison. let me ask you.
I mean, talk about like being prepped to go on the challenge. He's like, yeah, dude, this is easy. Yeah. I mean,
Yeah. Trust me. I felt, and even, you know, when I was in that other show, we would ask for like, hey, can I have like shampoo or something? And it's like, sorry, you can't have anything. So that's why I say it's a little mix of Survivor as well. Cause you had to like kind of just go through it and endure it. You had a couple things that they would give you, but if you ran out, it was like, all right, we can't give you anything until next time, like maybe in a week or two. So it was, you know, little things like that. And you didn't have that in the challenge. And the challenge is like, hey, I really need this. I mean, not anything, but little things like that they would give it to you. So, you know, I was definitely ready to for the living situation.
So, you know, I think we've kind of heard by way of Olivia and maybe some like that you guys were sort of a thrown together ride or die pair, for lack of a better term. Or am I wrong there? Do you guys have an illustrious history? How did the show come about for you? Who were you first contacted by? How was it presented to you? And how did you wind up being partnered with Olivia for this season? Go ahead, D.
With the current Love Island winner, right?
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, I wouldn't say we were just completely thrown together. Me and Olivia, we already knew each other from before. I went to college in Phoenix, and that's where I met Olivia. And that was back in 2014. And, you know, we kind of just kept in touch a little bit. I transferred out. I went to another college, and it was just like, all right, whenever I would go to Phoenix, you know, we'd hang out a little bit, and that's it. And then she did her show. She did Love Island. I did my other show. And then it wasn't until I didn't have an agent or anybody I was working with. And then it came about like, hey, like this guy through another friend, he's like, this guy said he could potentially get us on the challenge. And I'm like, I don't know what that is, but green light, let's go. And then once I start talking to him, I find out, you know, he's also working with Olivia. And I'm like, oh, kind of perfect, you know? And it's kind of how it all went down. It's like, all right, well, the whole thing is going to be ride or die. And you guys already have a bit of history together. You guys know each other. So, I mean, I think it would be a great pairing. And I know a lot of people would have been like, oh, maybe she could have done better with someone from her other show, Love Island. And I know when I was also in conversation with other people, it was like, oh, why don't you bring someone from your show? People from my show, most of them don't speak English, you know? So it was like, okay. I think right now it's going to be me and Olivia. And I was all for it. I mean, Olivia, I think you guys have seen her. She's definitely proven herself. And I'm not going to lie. At first, I was a bit nervous. I'm like, what is this going to be like? Like, how hard can she push herself? And for me to say that I'm proud of her is, I mean, it doesn't do it justice. She's just incredible, honestly.
So like initially, obviously, like when the cast photos come out and the teams come out and it's you and Olivia, like, obviously we all think that at some point there was a romantic relationship involved. And we know that the whole time you guys have been playing and saying that it's, you know, friends, but was there ever a time where, I mean, you know, like there's gotta be a little bit more love than just friends. I mean, we saw you bring the flowers. I mean, you're obviously a nice dude, but that was pretty freaking romantic, man. Bringing her the roses on her birthday this past week. Was there ever, I mean, since 2014, was there ever a little bit more than just friendship going on between you guys?
There was never anything more. I know it's hard to believe, but when we first met, it was, I guess it was a weird situation for me because I'm more on the quiet side, you know, I'm more timid, whatever. and I don't really go out too much. And that day I was like, hey, the soccer guys are like, hey, let's go. And I was like, all right, cool. Let's do it. And the soccer guys, being who they are, my friends, they were like trying to flirt with all these girls and stuff. And they start talking to Olivia. And, you know, it kind of just came about, like, I'm over here just drinking water because I don't drink. And she's like, oh, what are you drinking? It's like, I'm not drinking anything. I'm drinking water. And I guess that kind of caught her attention, you know. And we just started talking from there. But there was nothing more than that. I always have seen her just as a friend. I think she's definitely a beautiful girl. She's super cool, super funny. Personality, I mean, top person. But I don't see her that way. And I don't think she sees me that way either, honestly.
Well, that takes away my follow-up question, because I was like, there wasn't even like a drunken kiss or make out or anything like that. And he's like, I don't drink.
I don't drink. So. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Sorry, Scott.
How is it not drinking and going into a show like this? I mean, Derek mentioned, I mean, the standards and practices have changed over the years. It's not as integral to the experience as it used to be. And they obviously have limits and things like that, but you guys are constantly going out and hanging out and things like that. And I'm sure it's readily available to a certain degree. I don't know how much of a contrast there is between that experience and in just your regular life. Obviously a lot of socializing involves drinking outside of the Challenge House too, but what did that stand in the way at all of your ability to like kind of engage socially? Did you feel like, you know, being someone who doesn't drink and being around a lot of people that do like to drink and use that as a little bit of a lubricator to start the politicking and things like that, did that stand out to you at all, or was it all fine and gravy?
It was all good, honestly. I don't want to say I was new to it, but it was just kind of easy to get used to. I think I have a blast, like not drinking and just watching other people get drunk and, you know, all the fighting and all that. I'm just sitting back and watching this unfold. And I'm like, this is great, you know? And just being me more quiet, it kind of also kind of helped me, because people were coming up to me a little bit more and then talking, because alcohol was kind of talking in a sense. And it's like, great. So I kind of was able to, you know, build these relationships with other castmates and stuff. And so I had no problem whatsoever. It never came in the way. I definitely was worried sometimes when Olivia was drinking. I'm like, just please don't overstep it. Don't try to make a deal. Don't try to do anything that, you know, we haven't talked about, in a sense. So that's the only worry that I had.
You kind of described Survivor and Big Brother, you know, in relation to the show, and I guess sometimes when people don't know what the challenge is, and I have to explain to people out here that don't know what the challenge is, I often say, I guess it's kind of like a mix between Survivor, Big Brother, and Fear Factor. Because that's kind of like the bigger names that people have seen and knew. When you describe Exaltón, Estados Unidos, I would imagine there's an Exaltón, probably different versions in different countries.
But yeah, you could several. Maybe,
okay. And you describe it as being sort of like a Survivor. Is there drinking in an Exaltón?
No, not at all.
Even at the mansion.
No, not even. What would happen is maybe one day would show up, happened on a couple occasions, and they'd be like, oh, whatever team wins, you will have a little party. So I don't know, like I was there for 4th of July, Mother's Day, Father's Day, Valentine's Day. I was there for all these days. Wow. And so those little days you got to like, you know, like, oh, today we'll have a little 4th of July cookout. Cool. All right. And I think they were limited to, I think, maybe one alcoholic beverage that day per person. And obviously I gave mine away. But there was no drinking. There was no nothing. Everything was pretty much eating the same food every single day. Everything was very routine. Kind of, it was the best experience I've ever had, even though I was kind of in a jail. I don't know how to, it was just the best experience, honestly.
Yeah. Cause you like shit like that.
Yeah. And
you're high on life. Like you're high on the adventure. Like
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. It was definitely a great way to grow mentally. That's how I saw it. And then also the challenge. I mean, I can't not include it. But that was my first test, in a sense, Exatlón, where I tested myself, not just physically, but mentally. And I definitely grew so much. And then that prepared me, in a sense, to go into the challenge.
Talk about your soccer background, because that was mentioned on the show. you know, where you played, how long you've played, you still play, things like that.
Yeah. So the whole professional soccer player thing, I don't know where they're coming with saying that from. I was never like fully professional. I started since I was 5 years old playing here in, I'm from El Paso, Texas. So this is where I played my entire life. And then I went out to play in Phoenix, Arizona, a university out there. And then I transferred out to a school in Mississippi and, you know, got my education paid for and everything thanks to soccer. Once I finished, I was like, I got to keep playing, you know, like this is what I want. This is a dream. And I got the opportunity to go play in Australia. So I played Australia. So I think that's where I guess people will go like, oh, he was professional. Cause I was on contract. I was getting paid. So I guess, quote unquote, I was pro. And so I played out there for pretty much a year. Came back, I had a knee injury, so I had to get surgery, and came back, recovered real quick. And I started playing here with like a second division team here in the US. And at the end of the day, they pretty much ended up not signing me. So I was like, okay, what the heck is next? What the heck is next? I decided to go out to Spain. I went out to Spain. Once I get out there, they're like, hey, dude, you're going to have to pay us this amount to play on this team. And I'm like, what? Like, yeah, you have to pay us. And I said, I'm not going to pay you anything. And they pretty much kicked me out of the Casa Club, what they would like the house where all the players live. And I was pretty much homeless in Spain for a bit. That was another adventure. And I was just trying to reach out to other clubs when I was out there. It was tough because I didn't have the visa to play out there. So finally came back to the States, kind of, you know, it was a tough point in my life because my entire life was just soccer, soccer, soccer. I'm going to make it no matter what. I'm going to bust my butt every single day to make this. And it was like slowly coming to like, you're not making it. Like, what's going on? Like, you're not getting that shot. What's going on? And I think that's when COVID hit. So COVID hits, I was actually on trial with a team in South Carolina, and then COVID hits and they're like, all right, everybody go back to your wherever you're from, and we'll call you whenever everything's done, when COVID's done. We all know the story with COVID. It lasted way too long. And during that COVID time, I was just playing with like local teams here in El Paso. Then I went out to live in Houston for a bit. And then that's when the whole Exatlón thing happened. So, you know, it's kind of like, I don't know. I've always said it. Soccer has opened up so many opportunities for me. Isn't why I was able to get a degree, why I have been able to travel so much, connect with so many people. And I think now it's the reason why I was able to do Exatlón, and now the challenge, and why I have been, you know, kind of in a sense ready physically, at least to just perform. I have to be thankful for soccer.
How did you find Exatlón? How long has that been around?
So Exatlón has been around for, I think they just finished the seventh season. So, I mean, it's fairly new in a sense. And it is the number one like reality show for Hispanic TV. So, I mean, I guess it's pretty big. And then how it came about, it was just luck. This was back in 2020 when the whole COVID thing happened. My ex-girlfriend, the girl that I was dating at the time, we were all visiting my grandma. And my grandma was watching this and she's like, oh, like, I would love if you apply for this, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, I'm a soccer player. Like, I don't do that stuff. And my grandma goes on to tell my ex-girlfriend at the time, like, hey, you should do it. And she decides to apply. I'm watching her do this application. And this application, she's like leaving things blank and all this. And I'm like, all right, okay. She was just kind of just doing it for my grandma. And fast forward like 2-3 months later, and she's like, hey, I just got a call from Telemundo headquarters in Miami. I'm like, what? She's like, yeah, they're interested in me for the show and all this. I'm like, oh, well, I mean, great. You know, go do your thing. So proud. And she's like, I'm going to tell them about you because I think you do really well. And I'm like, yeah, that's fine. And I guess, in a sense, long story short, they push her to the side and they take me over. So that's how it came about. I didn't even apply. I honestly wasn't even looking for it. Kind of like the
story all the time, by the way. this is very common where, oh yeah, my friend who I dragged to the audition had never seen the show. They picked her and not me. You know, oh, my coworker was bartending where they were doing the casting. They liked her. They didn't like any of the people who waited online for 5 hours. Like the idea of really wanting to be on the show. People, they don't like that. They like the guy who, man, he doesn't even know that we're looking at him right now, but man, he'd be perfect. Oh, and he has no interest. Oh, now we got to get him. Oh, he's hard to get. Oh, now we got to get him. Ah, yeah. Screw the girlfriend. So wait, so how did that relationship turn out? Did that go well, or was that the nail in the coffin?
Is this the girl that was in the way of Laurel?
No.
By the way, okay.
No, it wasn't. But no, sadly, that relationship ended. Tragically, like we split up.
Was it because of this, or did you make it through the shooting?
Because you went on TV for 6 months and could only talk to anyone for 5 minutes a day or a week.
Yeah, it was definitely that. You know, it was definitely so tough, and it ended our relationship. I was honestly,
wow.
This was the girl I was like looking to marry and everything, and. I don't know. I mean, it's things happen for a reason. I can't say I'm not hurt because I'm still hurt from that. But, you know, I
well, she's probably listening if you want to, I mean, shoot your shot, man.
She's definitely listening.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I can say, man, I just wish her the best. You know, she's definitely, that's all I can say. I wish her the best. I want the best for her. And things happen for a reason. I'm just, yeah.
All right, going to take a quick break from our interview with Horacio to talk to you about one of our sponsors. I'm talking about Dadgrass. Have you ever just been too damn high? Yeah, we've all been there. Well, at least at one point in our life, I think. Maybe not Horacio, but with today's weed, I've been told, sometimes it's a dangerous game. Dadgrass is reviving the pleasure of the casual smoke, so you can chill without the stress. Who doesn't love a trip down memory lane? Dadgrass takes you back to the time when music was on vinyl, hangouts meant actually hanging out, and weed didn't send you to the frickin' moon. It's time to revive the pleasure of the casual smoke, if that's your kind of thing. Turning into your parents might be your worst nightmare, but let's be real. Their weed might have been the stuff of dreams. Dadgrass has the old school joints that are low in THC and high in CBD. You know, D and I are really into the CBD, so you can chill out and lighten up the old fashioned way. Dadgrass is legal, organic, smokable hemp that relaxes your body and mellows your mood. Their 100% organic pre-roll joints are very low in THC and high in CBD, so you can enjoy the effects of CBD while keeping a clear head. Want the toke without the smoke? Well, Dadgrass also has CBD gummies made with the same high-quality hemp. Those would be for me. I'm not a smoker these days, but I love me a good CBD gummy. They're easy to dose and effects come on smooth. Chill out without getting stoned. It's like having a glass of wine, not the whole bottle. All Dadgrass products are federally legal for ages 21 and over, and it ships right to your door anywhere in the U.S., all right? Right now, Dadgrass is offering Challenge Maniacs 20% off your first order when you go to dadgrass.com/challenge. Go to dadgrass.com/challenge for 20% off your first order. That's dadgrass.com/challenge. All right, more with Horacio. Let's get into the challenge.
Next question.
It's interesting because, like, it's just funny how, you know, this kind of ties into the whole, you know, like Mariah and Fessy situation where it's like, you know, like he kind of helps her. He brings her on basically the show,
yeah.
You know, just like your girlfriend kind of brings you onto the show. But what are you going to do? It's 6 months. It's not even a month. It's not even a month and a half. It's not even 2 months that you're going to be away from your loved ones, your loved one. You know, I can't imagine if one of these people on Exile Tone has a kid, like, I mean,
that's the thing. A lot of them, well, not a lot of them, but, there's a couple that do, you know, and they're married and it's crazy because her and I had been in a long distance relationship pretty much the entire time. Like we were together for about 4 years. And when I went to go play in Australia, like I was out there for about 9 months. we didn't get to see each other for 9 months. She never was able to go out there and visit and stuff. But I mean, at least we could communicate on a daily.
You could FaceTime. You could probably FaceTime.
Exactly. Like, even though I was having to FaceTime her at 1 in the morning, 2 in the morning, because of the time difference, like, it's okay. I could still see her. We could still talk. But Exatlon, like, it was tough. Yeah. No communication is a whole nother kind of test. And I know at the end of the day, it's hurting her so much, and it was hurting me as well. And it was just like, okay, I guess we have to go our separate ways. So yeah, that's how it all happened. But at the end of the day, even though it hurts so much, I have to look at it as, like I said, everything happens for a reason. Now I was able to, like, leave Exatlon and open my, you know, like, see, like, all right, what's next? And I don't have this girl that I thought I was going to marry. Like, what's next? And now I'm, you know, in the challenge. So everything happens for a reason, in a sense.
Well, yeah, let me ask you, because
even in the military, you there's probably, you know, more communication than that. Sorry, go ahead, Scott.
So there's a little bit of happenstance there. It's like, you know, you have the girlfriend at the time. She really wants to be on the show. They decide to go with you over her. And then here you are, flash forward to the challenge. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you and Olivia were originally earmarked for an alternate spot. And you guys initially had flown out to, I believe it was Argentina, where I forget where you guys filmed this season, but not thinking that you, or not at least knowing for sure that you were going into this game. Correct me if I'm wrong, but talk about that. Going, not knowing, this and that. And then all this stuff happens. A couple people get COVID, stop, start, this and that. And you guys get thrown into a game that you guys have pretty much, I mean, whether you want to use the word dominated or not, because a lot of you guys getting to dominate on the elimination floor comes with socially obviously getting thrown in time and time again, but screen time wise have clearly dominated the season. And you guys were maybe, you know, a couple other things breaking different ways from not even being on the season. So walk us through that and the sort of happenstance that got you from hotel room to elimination floor.
Yeah. I mean, the whole journey was absolutely insane. When I finally get the, like, green light of, like, okay, they're going to fly you out to Argentina, to Buenos Aires, I'm like, okay, cool. So to me, that was like, I'm in a sense. Once we get out there, like, I was kind of just reading the situation. And Olivia was having the time of her life. They were already in the flight. They were, you know, drinking and yelling and screaming. And I'm like, oh gosh, this is going to be crazy, but I was ready for it. And we show up to the hotel and, you know, kind of going through the whole procedure. They take our phones and everything. So I'm like, this is it. Like, let's get ready. And they come knock on my door like, hey, we need you ready by tomorrow, 11 a.m. Be dressed, be looking good, because the show is going to start off with you guys kind of, like, you know, just showing up looking good. All right, cool. Next morning, I get ready, everything. And I could start hearing producers, I guess, just going around, knocking on people's door to pick them up. Laurel was right across from me, so I could hear, like, they go pick up Laurel, all these other people. And I'm like, all right, I'm ready. Like, they're going to come pick me up. And the knock never comes. Knock never comes. And I fall asleep. But trust me, I was super, like, ready. Like, I was ready for that knock. So I was, like, in bed, and I just fall asleep. I'm wearing these, like, Chelsea boots. I'm, like, wearing my jeans, everything. And I just fall asleep. And I wake up and it's like 4. And I'm like, and I'm still like, are they
like 4 a.m. or 4 p.m.?
4 p.m. And I'm still like hopeful. I'm like, oh, they still might come get me. And I open the door and it's just a security at the end of the hallway. And he's like, just get back in your room. And I'm like, what's going on? He's like, just get back in your room. And I'm like, all right, I'm just going to call Olivia. And I call Olivia from the hotel phone. And she goes, I think we're alternates. I'm like, ah, shoot. So like 7 p.m., finally somebody comes over and knocks on my door. And they're like, hey, so I don't know if you've noticed, but you're not going in. I'm like, yeah, I guess. after so many hours of just waiting. And they're like, just, like, you're going to be an alternate. You never know. You could come in. You might come in. But if you're not in the show by Thursday, like, they're flying you back home. And I mean, that gave us, I don't remember exactly what day it was, but it gave us, I think, I don't know, like 4 or 5 days. I don't know how long it gave us. So I was like, okay, I guess. And so, yeah, like, we're just kind of just waiting. And then I think it was who was it? I think it was Nam that had a, his window was, you could look down and you could see where like the bus would show up and all that. And I guess he saw that Nerys had came back and everybody's like, oh, what's going on? What's going on? And they find a way to communicate with her. And it's like, okay, you know, she got COVID. So what's going on? We don't know anything more. And then they're like, all right, we're going to move you guys from this hotel to another hotel. And so like everything's kind of being hectic and, but we're still not being told what's going to happen. And we're there in the hotel and then that new hotel and they come over, knock on my door. They're like, hey, we need your stuff. And I'm like, what? We need everything? You're going in tomorrow. And then they finally hand me my jersey. And oh man, that moment was like, okay, now it's go time. Now it's go time. And it's real now. So, you know, it was definitely a journey because it's like, yeah, you're in, you're not, you're in, you're not. And it all happened just amazingly, go in and still being obviously the rookies and new guys, who are these kids? And like you said, I wouldn't use the word dominating, but it's been nice to see the reaction that people have had on us. And you said the screen time that we've had, I was definitely not expecting that much screen time at all. And it's been amazing.
Well, there's only a few ways of getting, you know, good amount of screen time. And that's either you're winning, you're losing, you're hooking up, or you're fighting. So, and you've been doing a lot of, I guess, you know, winning and losing,
more losing than winning, but yeah.
One time I actually I was an alternate and, I was in a hotel for a week, running back and forth in this backyard of a hotel. Yeah. And, I got released like, all right, you're gonna, you know, let's book your flights. Let's, you know, figure out, you know, where you want to go. And I'm like, well, I just got talked into going to Ibiza. So, all right, they just booked my flight to Ibiza and we've been drinking and they called me back probably like an hour and a half later.
No
maybe,
way.
Maybe like an hour and a half later. Cause I was still like coherent. And, because I was like, all right, well, I mean, you know, I'm not going in the game, so I'm going to start drinking and, you know, enjoy my time. And I was like, this is a terrible idea. You put me back in the game right now.
That's crazy. And I had a very similar experience with that other show as well. I also went in as an alternate, and very, 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 I mean, it was history repeating itself because I get a call from the show starts in 2020. It started in, 2021. I'm sorry, January of 2021. And so in December of 2020, they're like, hey, you're in, it's a green light. You're in the first, first call. So you're going in. I'm like, okay, cool. My flight is scheduled for January 3rd. This show is filmed in the Dominican Republic. And I'm like, all right, cool. December 3rd, January 3rd. On January 1st, they call me to tell me, hey, sorry, but we're not going to take you. I'm like, what? They're like, yeah, we're going with this other guy. He has a better story than you. And so 2 days prior,
they like, said that to you, by the way, they were that transparent. that is often the reason for sure. But for them not to say something a little bit more sugarcoated is hilarious.
No. Yeah. They were, I wanted the truth because when I went out there to Miami to do the medicals and everything, and we had a little like a mini tryout in a sense, I felt like I did amazing. And even in the medical, the doctors were like, dude, what sport do you play? I'm like, I'm a soccer player. Like, I mean, you're the fittest guy here. Like your heart rating and all that, like everything was just off the charts. And I was like, all right. So everything was looking so good. And so when they give me that call to tell me, hey, we're not going to take you, this other guy, I was like, all right, can you please tell me why? Like, was I not good enough? Like what's going on? I like, look, let's be honest. His story is better. This is going on with his life. He's an aerospace engineer, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, cool. And so, yeah, I was thrown as a backup and I was like, you know what? Forget this show. I'm done. And I went out to work with my dad as an electrician. And I was just working with him. And even though I had said, forget the show, in the back of my head, I was like, hopefully they call me. And it took 2 months for them to call me. And when they finally did, it was like, hey man, you're needed. All right, let's go. And it was 6 months after that.
But it wasn't for the Dominican Republic, Exalton. It was for Estados Unidos. For people at home that don't speak Spanish, that's the United States.
No, it was for the USA one, the Estados Unidos, but they film it in the Dominican Republic.
Oh, okay. Are they just saying
like how the challenge for the US is filmed in other countries?
Exactly.
Survivor for the US is filmed in Fiji. It's like they want an exotic locale, for the market.
But they're picking people from the United States to compete in the Dominican Republic. That's what it is.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's a bunch of people that, you know, they have a Hispanic, Latino background.
Okay.
And then the show is aired here in the United States, but in Telemundo, which is in Spanish.
Yeah. I used to watch Telemundo when I was younger.
Just for fun, just like degree of difficulty.
Dude, like, I'm gonna watch something. Did you pick it up? Did you pick up Spanish? Or
listen. So I grew up in Chicago, right? Mm-hmm. So like I grew up in like Spanish speaking neighborhood.
But you get to go home and put on your own TV, right? You know,
I mean, it's just like it's the same thing with Polish and Spanish. Like it's all over Chicago, right? So, I mean, for you to walk into like, you know, a restaurant or whatever, or any sit down, you know, and like you're somewhere where you're waiting, like Telemundo. So
they would have Telemundo on. When you went to go pick up dinner, the TV at the restaurant would have Telemundo on.
Dude, all the soap operas, all the telenovelas, bro, are on Telemundo. Bro, don't talk to me like I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, Scott.
Oh, trust me. Clearly you know what you're talking about. I
fucking speak Spanish, bro, and Polish. Okay. Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
All right, let me ask you. So you mentioned you had no history with the show going into the show. Did you give yourself any crash course? Did you binge a season on the plane? Like when Laurel comes up to you and starts talking to you, have you ever seen her face before? Or is this literally just like you walking into a completely blank canvas as far as the people that you're meeting, the game you're entering?
So it wasn't completely blank. I did binge watch War Worlds 1, where Turbo had won. So I was actually so excited to meet Turbo.
Just, he was gone, or he was not gone by the time you got there?
No, he eliminated him.
You eliminated him, right? Okay, good.
Us the house elimination.
Right. I remember that, and everybody helped you guys, and everybody wanted him out of there because he was being weird. Okay, now
but
I remember.
He's excited to meet him, right? Okay.
Yeah, I was so excited. I was completely so excited, and when I show up to the airport. And, you know, I'm starting to see a couple familiar faces, but I go to the restroom and Turbo was walking out. And when I see him, I'm like, hey, Turbo, man, so nice to meet you. My name's Horacio. Like, I want to be on the challenge with you. And he kind of just like, I don't want to say he laughed, but he kind of like a little smirk. He kind of like, huh. And he shakes my hand like in like the most like, not a dead fish handshake, but kind of like, yeah, okay. And he just like walks away. And I was like, what? Like,
damn.
And I was like, what the heck is like, what's up with this guy? Like, I get it. I'm the new guy, but like, I don't know. It could have been cool. Like, oh man, good to meet you, man. Well, I'll see you back at the house. I'll see you in the challenge, whatever. And it was like, wow. Like
never meet your heroes, bro. They say that never meet your heroes, man. Especially right outside of a bathroom. Well,
he's a king in freaking Turkey. Apparently, he's a superstar in Turkey.
Apparently, but I mean, yeah, I mean, he gave me that, but it was like, all right, cool. Then I see how it is.
And he's listening to Eminem, the Way I Am. He's like, I can't take a shit without someone standing by it. No, I wouldn't sign your autograph, Horacio. No, I'm just kidding. But he's probably like, like, look, what's weird is, correct me if I'm wrong, but technically, let's say that you introduce yourself and he sees this great smile. He sees this guy excited to meet him, but immediately he hears, oh, you're going to be on the challenge. He immediately says, well, this is enemy. One of my competition. Enemy. Yeah. Wasn't he kind of right? Because here we are a couple weeks later, you are taking him out of the game. So maybe he was correct in not attaching any sentimentality to it because here he is. Now, granted, it didn't work out for him, but just a few weeks later, he is having to put his head down, tunnel vision, take you out, or at least try to. Had you won him over in that interaction, it might have been a little bit harder for him. I mean, it didn't pay off anyway, but still, to play devil's advocate.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
No, yeah, 100%. I think it's a mental game. As soon as you get to the airport, it's a mental game. And it's like, all right, who am I, in a sense, going to punk out? Who am I going to recruit? All that kind of stuff. And I'm new to it, you know? So I'm kind of like, I'm excited. Like, hey, well, nice to meet you. Nice to meet you. And that's it. And I don't know, maybe if that was his strategy, Turbo, like to be like, all right, this guy's going into the challenge. Like, I'm not going to let him get on my good side or whatever it was. I wasn't talking to him to be on his alliance or anything. I was just excited to meet him. That's it. You know, my mentality going into it was always like, I'm here to compete. I'm not here to be like, oh, hey, let's do this. Hey, let's do that. No, I was just there to compete. And I saw him as a great competitor and somebody that I wanted to go up against. And I mean, like you said, a couple of weeks later, it ended up happening. I always will say, yeah, definitely the house helped us out. But at the end of the day, we got that win and sent them home. So,
well, what? Right, so after you meet Turbo, and you have this, like, I don't know, not so friendly, initial interaction. What was the, obviously it was kind of an intense time while he was in there. How else did it, you know, go down after that? Was there any positive interaction after that? Or was it just kind of what we saw on TV where it's like kind of Turbo against the whole house and I'll take you all out in an elimination one by one?
Yeah. I mean, what they showed on TV didn't do it justice. I think they made it look like, obviously, yeah, the house was against them, but they don't show him like going off all the time. Like they don't air a lot of things. And my interaction with him was pretty much none. I would talk to his partner, Tamara. I mean, sometimes, but it was only like, I'd be in the kitchen and then she'd come in and it's like, she speaks Spanish. And so, you know, it's like, hey, hola, ¿cómo estás? And we talk a little bit, but as soon as he would walk in, it was like, all right, she pretty much wouldn't talk to me. And it was like, what the heck? Like, it was so weird. And once we were nominated to go into elimination and stuff, I remember him just saying like, no, like whoever comes back, you have to come back and beat all these vets and all this. And that was pretty much the only quote unquote thing that he told me after that interaction that I had in the airport. So no real relationship with him. If anything, I got to speak to Tamara a little bit more than him, but that's it.
So you're saying it was worse? Like they could have made it look worse.
Oh yeah. 100%. And I think there's nobody in the cast would not agree with me. Like it was to the point where that's why things went down the way they did. Everybody was like, let's get this guy out. Like, and part of me was like, I want to compete against him. Maybe I'm shooting for the stars, but I definitely wanted to compete against him in a physical elimination. I think that would have been great, just because of the competitor that he is and the competitor I think I am. But you know, it wasn't that way. It was in a way that it made it kind of made the show end in a perfect way because everybody was against them. So the entire house against them was like, boom, there you go. That's what everybody wanted.
And And to be fair, Scott, to be fair, we have had Turbo at a Challenge Mania Live. And
oh, yeah, there's
was,
no good side.
And he was not.
Yeah. He. Are you saying he was? No, I'm saying even his good side is a little bit intimidating, right? Like, he's even his positive energy is a little bit of like, does this guy want to fight me? Like, you know what I mean? Like, even if he even if he likes you, even if he's telling you, like, you know, thank you for having me, whatever, but he's doing it like the same way that like someone kind of tells you to get out of their way. So I'm saying, like, yeah, I mean, I can imagine that him on a bad day is like, forget about it, because him on a good day is still kind of like, okay, look at me. I'm going to say,
I'm gonna say we had a good time with him at Challenge Mania Live.
No, he was great, and I said he's like, he comes off like a movie star, but like an intimidating movie star, you know. Like,
yeah.
But let me. So you missed the whole thing that we got to see on the boats because you guys hadn't been put in the game yet. But there's an awkward interaction between him and Laurel. You know, she's going around giving champagne. She doesn't give it to him. So you didn't. You weren't necessarily privy to that. But then obviously, when you get into the house, you know, you catch a little bit of the residual negative energy with Turbo, and then very quickly it seems like you get pretty well acquainted with Laurel. How soon after you guys got entered into the game did Laurel kind of, I don't know, slide into your proverbial DMs, you know, for lack of a better way of describing it?
So I don't want to say it was like immediately, but I show up and it's like, all right,
she called dibs. You're there. Like, TJ was like, all right, guys, come in. This is Horacio and this is Olivia. And I'm sure like Laurel's sitting there like tapping the girl next to her, like, hey, he's mine. Hey, eyes up here. You see that guy? Hey, Mike. Sorry.
I got this one.
Yeah. Called dibs.
I mean, I walk in and I was rooming with her immediately. It was me, Laurel, Jack, and Tommy. And we were like,
I could do that math, by the way.
Exactly. And even before then, her and I had a very good several good conversations. From the airport bus to the hotel. That's when, like, I guess we started talking, and I wasn't going to really talk to anybody, but she asked me a question. And then from there, it's just like, boom, boom, where are you from? Blah, blah, blah. And then I found out she spoke Spanish. And that to me was like, okay, I could, cause I've always said, like, I feel different in English. I feel like I have a different personality. I can't like really express myself the way I want to, or I feel like I can't. And so when I'm like, oh, she speaks Spanish, it's like, oh, great. And then, like I said, she was also rooming with me across the hallway at the hotel. So there was times where, like, you couldn't step out of your hotel room, but like she'd open her door, I opened my door, and we just talked to one another from there. So like we had already built that relationship. And once I step into the game, it's like kind of like, oh, you're also rooming with her. It's like, okay. And so that's kind of how everything went down.
For instance, the way it plays out for us on camera is there's a little bit of a will they won't they and a flirtation this and that, and then obviously towards the end of her run, right before her and Jack leave the game, they mention, you know, she kind of finds out that you have somebody at home and things like that. How much of this was kind of overblown or overemphasized to give us a little bit of a sort of romantic intrigue at home, and how much of it was legitimate? I know it might be hard to say, and I know there's a little bit of separation from it, and obviously you might not want to say too much if there was somebody else at home, but I mean, watching it play out on screen, did it feel like a fair depiction of you guys out there, or did you think that they were kind of grasping at straws and kind of, you know, bloating it a little bit for TV sake?
No, I think what they showed was legitimate in a sense. You know, I felt like when I was there in the house, the person I would hang out with and talk to the most was Laurel, you know? So even though I'd be at the gym by myself, swimming by myself, all that, but at the end of the day, like, it was like, oh, her and I were always together, we're talking and stuff. So I think it was what they showed, they weren't trying to blow it up. I think it was definitely real, but at the end it was, yeah, like, it got to the point where I had to like make that boundary in a sense, because I thought at any second it could just cross over, you know. It was like the hugs and all those things that people were seeing. It's like, you know, part of me was like, I really do like Laurel, but it's like, you know, I can't do this, you know? So that's where the whole situation for that final episode of her was like me telling her, hey, I have a girl that I'm talking to. She's not my girlfriend. So I am single. And that's one of the things that everybody's like, oh, wait, so you're not single. You have a girlfriend, blah, blah, blah. No, I was talking to somebody outside of it. And when I left with that other guy, I said, hey, I'm going to go into this show. I already had said that I was single because I wasn't talking to her right before I had that interview with the challenge. And so I was like,
ask you that kind of shit. They're like, is this guy come in and be a bore when Laurel goes to pounce on him? Is he going to say, hey, I'm talking to somebody at home. And you were smart. You did the thing like actors do. And they go, can you ride a horse? You're an actor. Even if you've never been on a horse, you go, yeah, I can ride a horse. Same thing with you. You're like, I'm single. Yeah,
I'm single. Yeah. I mean, and so I explained it to the girl that I was talking to outside the game. And she's like, okay. And I said, but either way, like I know who I am in a sense. So, you know, I'm not going to go in there and just go crazy. It's like, okay, cool. And so with Laurel, you know, we're connecting and everything. And that's where I was like, all right, I have to set this boundary line now because I don't want her to get hurt even more. And at the end of the day, you know, I felt like I did hurt her, but, you know, I really respect and like Laurel a lot. And so our relationship still to this day is amazing. I could talk to her, about anything, pretty much anytime. So
anything you could, anything.
Yeah. Yeah. I can talk to her about anything. Yeah.
Well, next time you talk to her, just going to throw this out there. Mention Chalmania, it might not be tomorrow. Might be, I don't know, in a couple months, rumors are, but next time you talk to her, next time you guys, whenever, if you do have that relationship where you could talk about anything, because we've been on the air for 5 years, Horacio, we've never had her on the podcast. So
really, wow.
Yeah, unfortunately you could talk to her about anything. Derek and I could talk to her about nothing, unfortunately. But we'd love to have her on the show. So maybe you can bridge the gap, my friend.
There
you go.
But you get a hard no on the podcast, though.
I just get a no. I don't get a no. I just get a
we
no.
We need response. Horacio. He can talk to her about anything. So see, maybe she comes home.
I'll do what I can for you guys. Definitely.
All right. Definitely. We love it. So you now are not at all. Are you still talking to the woman you're, cause it's weird how time works, right? Cause like you guys filmed this, what, like late spring, early summer. It like, you know, a lot of time goes by now, it's airing obviously. So are you still talking to the girl that you were talking to at the time, has that ship sailed, or catch us up?
No, that ship has sailed as well. Once I leave the challenge, I actually tell him, hey, put me on a flight to where she's living. So I go straight to her and, you know, we talk about everything and, you know, I decide to just make her my girlfriend officially. And so we test it out and it lasted like 3 weeks. And I was like, gosh, dang it. You know, it was just she couldn't do the whole long distance thing. And I was obviously out here in Texas. She was out in Vegas. So it was like, I was willing to make it work, but I know for her it was also tough. So like I said, it was short lived. So right now, hashtag forever alone. That's what I keep saying. That's me.
Well,
right
that
now.
Is adorable. Wow. And tragic. And I can tell you just based on the likes and the retweets we got on the post I made of this podcast, because I Googled you and the picture that came up with you of you was shirtless. And so I happened to use that one. It seems like there's quite a few people who are interested, which I'm sure you get several DMs a day. But do you have any, I know this is hard to say, but I don't want to say, do you have any regrets? Because obviously like it probably had to happen in that order. So there's not really like a way to have done it in a different way. But do you wonder like the great what if, like the experience that you had on Ride or Dies, do you think, are you almost like glad in hindsight that, hey, I went there, you know, I had this girl I was trying to work stuff out with, therefore I didn't fully lose myself and get into a showman, so all stuff. And did that maybe better and improve your game? Or do you do the revisionist history and say, oh man, since that only lasted 3 weeks, what could have been if I had gone on Ride or Dies, single, ready to mingle, the Laurel thing fully plays out, and who knows what else plays out, right? She goes home early. Maybe there's somebody else, who knows?
Yeah. At the end of the day, I have no regrets. I have absolutely no regrets. It would have added a little more drama factor to my story, because I know I've received nothing but positive things, but I know a couple of people are like, hey man, just add a little bit more drama. Like you know, all these things. And it's like,
are those producers saying that, or are those like random fans who are like, hey buddy, add some drama?
Those are the random fans, you know, they're just like,
yeah, you can be a little bit more of an asshole. Come on. We know it's in there somewhere.
That's hilarious.
I literally told the chick that I have a girl at home that I'm talking to. I'm not even dating. I'm a nice guy, you assholes.
I love the audacity to DM or comment to somebody that you see on TV and be like, I love everything you're doing. Great job taking out Jordan. Could you be more of a prick?
Can you be a little bit more chaotic maybe next time? I mean, I love everything that you're doing, but, how about a little bit more crazy? You don't drink? Oh, all right. Well,
That's exactly
fight somebody.
And it's not there's not a whole lot of messages like that, but you know, sometimes I get a few that's just like, you know, he's a great competitor, but like at the end of the day, he's kind of boring. And I'm not gonna lie, that's why I was like, I'm not gonna get a lot of screen time because I'm boring. I admitted it. I was like, yeah, it's like I really was always to myself, you know. I definitely built some good relationships with everybody in the game, but they don't show any of that, you know? So it was like, yeah, I'm going to be a snooze fest besides me showing up and doing my best. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's kind of, I was always wanting to portray who I am, and that's who I am. If people consider me boring, hey man, that's your opinion of me. And that's who I am at the end of the day. I'm just here to compete, have a good time. I'm going to meet people. But that's it. That's Horacio for you.
Yeah. Good for you, man. Be you. And I can't wait to the next person. Can you punch somebody in the face next time? I love everything you're doing, but can you do something like that? God.
Yeah, yeah.
No, keep doing what you're doing, man. There's a big appreciation for guys like you in the challenge community. So don't change, man. Don't change for anybody.
No, not at all.
Well, it works out also that your partner, it's funny, it's like your partner, and not in a bad way, but your partner's brought a little bit of romantic intrigue, the showmance with Nelson, things like that. So it's like you guys are this rare rookie team that has managed to gain the respect of the fans by obviously winning on the elimination floor, performing well, but also entertainment-wise as a unit, you know, have been, you know, fairly intriguing in that regard. She's doing most of the heavy lifting in that regard, but either way, it's almost rare to just even have a team where both people are liked. And I would say, you know, because we're having Olivia on our Philly show, and it's rare that rookies immediately get accepted into this world. And you see this sort of internet fans that are very vocal, but sometimes for good and sometimes for bad, accept a pair the same, in like sort of the same way, as welcoming as a way as you guys have been accepted. Most of the time you get like, oh, hey, yeah, we like this Johnny guy, but Raven, kind of boring, you know, stuff like that. So you guys, I think all around have been very well received. And I think that's, you know, goes to the combination of you guys performing well, you of course individually also performing well, but then also Olivia with the Nelson stuff, but also being great in the interviews, kind of making up for a little bit of the lack of the sizzle on your end when it comes to that department.
Yeah, 100%. And I think, and that's one of the reasons why they're like, why are you guys ride or dies? And it's like, that's it right there. Look at, like, we balance each other in a sense. You know, everything that I don't bring in a sense, she does it. And then, you know, I'm not saying she lacks physically because she's an absolute beast, but you know, that's where I feel like I excel. So, you know, that little balance that we give each other is the perfect ride or die for me. And, you know, I think little by little, we have been proving it, and hopefully we could just continue to prove it.
Scott, we're keeping him kind of long, and I kind of want to get to this balls in classic, Horacio versus Jordan elimination, possibly elimination of the year when our Challenge Mania awards come out. That's a thing, Horacio.
Oh, is it really?
We do. That's right. We're getting ready for our sixth annual Challenge Mania awards.
Look, your math's never been great, but no, I think this is four or five, but we're going to be doing, it's
you
all
don't
for
even
the whole,
know if it's four or five.
Well, if you think about don't think it's 60, but I think, because remember, the first year we would have done it would have been 2018. So this is 2018, 19, 20, 21. This is the fifth year that we'll be awarding. But obviously that going into the sixth calendar year, the Challenge Mania has existed, but you are up against Horacio, not just people from Ride or Dies, but also we include the other two challenge seasons that aired in 2022. Wow. So the Challenge All-Stars season 3, as well as the Challenge USA. So it's kind of a way to compare, because sometimes it's like, well, you'd be a runaway. You went 5-0, you know, not a lot of impressive eliminations other than yourself this season, but you'd be going against the Wesses and the Marks and the Derricks even of the world. Derek had an iconic elimination earlier this year. He was not on the winning side of it, but who knows, maybe him and Nehemiah make the same category as you.
I would say pretty shitty and botched of an elimination, but you know,
hey, yes, you might have a couple quotes in there, D. Maybe you'll be up for quote of the year. So
maybe most obnoxious elimination victory. How about that?
Oh yeah, well, you and MJ, of course. Maybe that's one that's up there. Yeah. So you had a couple iconic obnoxious elimination moments there. Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
This one right here, as D says, is a legitimate, probably front runner to win elimination of the year. Couldn't be a better elimination for you to go against, Jordan. You guys couldn't probably be, I don't know, I've never seen you two next to each other in person or anything like that, but you feel like very well sized to go against each other, very evenly matched. This was a great one. So go ahead, D, cue it up.
Yeah. So obviously the four previous eliminations, the first one was Memory Lane, where you take out Turbo and Tamara with your partner, Olivia. The double decker was also a different variation of the hall brawl. Was your second win with Olivia. Then you did the spun out with Olivia. Then you had a singles elimination for your fourth win, breaking barriers against Kenny. And then we get to Balls In, which is, you know, obviously something that we love to see here in the challenge community. I think that this really sets the bar for people that, you know, enjoy athleticism and sports part of the challenge. You know, walk us through it. Cause on TV, like, we see that you guys are, I don't know what, 10, 15 yards away to start off with before you get, to the basket. You got some juke moves in there. You know, my question is, were you trying to tire him out? Did you have a strategy? How did you feel when you were in there? How'd you beat arguably the best player in challenge history?
Yeah, I mean, wow. That elimination was one of my best moments, definitely in the challenge.
Is it one of your best moments in your life, or is it one of your best moments in your sports background history, or is it just one of the best moments in your challenge career, which is not very long yet?
Yeah, exactly. Definitely. I mean, from my challenge career, definitely one of the best moments, and in sports in general. Yeah, definitely a great moment for me.
Great. Not the best, everybody. Great.
Yeah. And, as Scott said, it was very evenly matched. You know, I think Jordan and I height wise were very similar. I don't know. Weight. I don't know. I don't know if I'm, maybe I think we're about the same. Maybe I have about 5 pounds on him, maybe less. I don't know.
What do you weigh?
Right now I'm weighing like 180.
Okay. You probably have about 10 pounds on him. Possibly. Yeah. Depends on how much running, biking, and swimming he did around that time.
Yeah. So, and I'm 5'11". So, I mean, we're very similar in I guess in the stat sheet. And, but I mean, no, as soon as we get there and I see it's Balls In, I know people had talked about it, classic and all this. And, I was ready. I was excited. We had actually, Jordan and I had spoken that same day earlier and we're like, it's going to be you and I, man. Like, let's just get ready. Like we knew it. We just knew it. I guess what we didn't know was who was going to be the direct vote. But other than that, it was like, it's going to be you and I. Like, this is the main event right now. And so, you know, we get it going and our strategies were very different. As you guys could see him, he was just like, I'm going to hit you. I'm going to bulldoze over you. And
we saw the elbow straight to the face off the bat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. After that first one, I was already like bleeding from my lip. And, one thing I do want to clarify was I think it was a different type of ball sand with the rules, because that green circle around the basket. So the rule was pretty much like, if the person gets pretty much in a sense half of his body in there, you kind of have to let him go. So like it kind of, yeah, exactly. So you had to kind of, it killed the scenario of like you having to like wrestle a little bit until like, you know what I mean? And I think that would have added a whole another factor to it, because obviously we know Jordan, he wrestled and everything. But I think it would have been a great battle. And I honestly wanted that to happen. Don't know if it would have still gone my way. But I just think it would have been even a better elimination with that. But going back to the story, yeah, like
his what, side, I like the rules. Hold on. I like the rules here. So you're saying that if the goal wasn't to get the ball in the basket, the goal was to get the ball in the green circle, basically, and then you're in? Like,
yeah, kind of. Just like I said, because there, like the first round, you could kind of see where, you know, he hits me and then we both fall and his body kind of lands inside the green. And I'm trying to pull him away from it. And then you see TJ getting a little bit close and they don't air it, but he kind of just tells me like, all right, you got to kind of let him go. So that's why I open up my arms and he goes in. And so, you know, that added a whole nother, that's why his strategy kind of worked. Cause he knew like, I just have to get close to it. And then it goes. And I mean, he did a great job. I mean, I was definitely not expecting him to just come at me that hard. And like that first elbow to the face, it's like, okay, all right, now we're in. And so, yeah, my strategy was a lot different. My strategy was, I wasn't necessarily trying to tire him out. I know Jordan, he's a phenomenal athlete. And I'm like, this guy, I know he could, you know, he can keep up endurance wise and physically. So I was just like, all right, I have to just make him make the first move. So by me just kind of like going in circles in a sense, going side to side, making like a fake step going one way, you know, making him make that move was always my strategy. And luckily it worked at the end of the day. And yeah, those jukes, I don't know. I go back to soccer all the time. I'm like, I guess that's soccer coming into play, because I never played football or anything. So that's just soccer right there.
Speaking of playing football, playing soccer, getting out there, getting that athletic activity going, we want to shout out Rachel Robinson, who's back for her second season of the Challenge Workout. You can get the whole thing over at the Challenge YouTube page. And guess what? Our boy D is involved in season two. It's a three-week workout plan that begins this week. So get on it. I believe you could probably start at any time, but why not hop on this week and stay tuned for when D's going to rear his ugly head onto the Challenge YouTube to be a part of Rachel Robinson's Challenge Workout Plan. Also, guys, we'd love you to rear your not so ugly heads to Challenge Mania Seattle. Over half the tickets are already gone. There's less than 100 tickets available total. That means that less than 50 are left, guys. And this is a smaller venue, smaller event, but it's an awesome one. Art Marble 21 in Seattle. Me, Derek, Darrell, Corey Lay, Kendall Shepard, Sunday, July the 9th. It's in the vicinity of the MLB All-Star Game weekend. The Celebrity and Futures game will be that Saturday. The Home Run Derby's Monday, so a lot of fun stuff to go to. But make sure you get your Challenge Mania ticket. They're going fast, and they went on sale to the public today at challengemania.live. All right, more on Seattle, I'm sure, in the coming weeks, but it'll probably, I'm not going to lie, probably be sold out, so don't wait. Now let's get back to Horacio.
Let me ask you, like, this awesome elimination performance, and you think you just took one of the best players in the history of the game out. You don't know what that would mean for Anis at the time, but you potentially just dismantled one of the favorite teams to win here. And just like every elimination up until this point over the last 6 weeks, you feel like, you know, whoever, you know, when Nani beats Mariah, you know, you think Mariah's out of the game. When, you know, when Fessy beats Nelson, you think Nelson's out of the game. And then here we are after 6 weeks, and the only team that's actually been eliminated are Nelson and Nerys, because they both got eliminated. You bring the other people back, and we're not even eliminated eliminating two of those teams. We're literally at the end of next week only eliminating one of them. For us on television, this has played out over the course of, I believe, 6 weeks. Next week, I think it'll be 7 weeks, right? So for you guys in the house, it's a little bit more expedited than that. It's a few weeks. But what's the mentality like in the house for yourself at the time? I know you're new to the game, so you don't really have a context for this. But to all this time spent, all these eliminations, all this physicality, and really at the end of it, only four people are out of the game and have had their chances at $1 million removed. Is there frustration there? Are people kind of like, really, did we just waste a lot of time? What are you guys thinking? And what are you specifically thinking when you see all these people come back into the fold?
I mean, first I was absolutely shocked, especially because as you see that episode, Kenny and Jordan walk in and I'm like, I took these guys out, you know? And I'm like, come on. Like I personally love Kenny and Jordan. Like, honestly, those two guys were one of the, some of the guys that I talked to the most in there, but it's like, oh, come on. Like,
you're literally watching one of the greatest challengers of all time come back into the game and Jordan too.
Yeah, exactly.
See what I did there, Derek?
I did. I'll keep my inner monologue to myself.
But yeah, all that effort specifically on your end, but not even just on your end. Like, I think of, and granted, yes, these were all television episodes that we watched and we talked about on the podcast. And I'm sure all the advertisers were very happy in this and that, but all the effort that not just you put in, but you know, the Fessies and the Nannies and everyone else who won those eliminations, all those daily challenges you did to decide who went into those eliminations, all those crew members and everybody who set up these challenges and this and that. And it all kind of just gets like swiped away. Like at the end of Men in Black, when you do that whole thing to somebody and they forget everything.
The so flash, I mean,
It's like, what? It's, I mean, to you, I mean, I know that, you know, I don't know how many other reality shows you watch. The challenge is not alone in that a lot of these shows like to get cute and like to have these twists and this and that. I, for one, am just not high on twists that sort of negate things from having mattered is the one thing that I really don't like.
No. Yeah. I could definitely agree with that. It was because nobody was expecting it. And what we were told, like, once we found out, like a lot of the camera people and all that, they also didn't know that. So it was kind of, it was a complete surprise to everybody. And don't get me wrong, I was so excited to see Jordan and Kenny, because like I said, those are my guys. But that other part of me was like, come on, man. Like, is this ever going to end? Like, what's going to happen? Because even I thought back to the first elimination against Turbo, and then that other one against, Johnny and Raven. Like, we were eliminated them, but then what happens? The first one, Bananas and Ani come back in, or they come in for the first time. And then the other one, Darrell and Veronica come in. And I'm like, I'm getting rid of people, but then somebody else comes back. So, you know, it was a frustrating time. But at the end of the day, it was just like, okay, I guess going back to what we said at the beginning of the podcast, like an elimination is an elimination. So I feel like I definitely won. Maybe, yeah, they brought him back, but, you know, I don't know. It was mixed emotions, but it is what it is.
It's possible that he has got the shittiest end of the rookie challenge stick. Because, like, did you hear what he just said, Scott? Like, eliminate two of the goats.
Teams. Takes out two of the goats.
No. Well, four. Okay. Now, well, what? At least three, right? So Turbo at the beginning is borderline, right? A goat, you know.
Because but he actually does go home. But I'm saying, like, the two that didn't go home, right?
But then they get replaced by Johnny and Nani.
Oh, right.
And then the other
yeah, exactly.
Gets replaced by Darrell and Veronica. And then at the end of and that's at the beginning of the game. And at the end of the game, he gets rid of Jordan and Kenny. And it's possible that, like, Kenny and Casey are still in the game. It's possible that fucking Jordan and Anissa are still in the game. I mean, it's like, you know, it almost feels like he's been in like nine eliminations.
Yeah, I felt like I couldn't win at the time. I'm like, why are they just coming back? And then at the beginning where it was Bananas and Ani and Darrell and Veronica, it's like, these are vets. You know, also that was another thing. I'm a rookie. So it's like, yeah, it's another pair that's going to go against me, that's going to say my name and throw me in.
Yeah,
you know, so it was tough. It was definitely tough.
And now he's at the end of the game and there's probably about two eliminations left and he's still they're still the rookie pair. Yeah. They're still at the bottom of this fucking list. So, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think it's talk about it like that. I mean, dude, you've made quite the mark. You've earned your challenge stripes.
They've had this opportunity. They've had this opportunity to build this legacy that rookies rarely get because, you know, the season is short or you don't have the opportunity to prove yourself. Or when you do, you get taken out of the game. I mean, look at how forever ago it feels like week one, Johnny and Raven win. Everybody's saying, wow, is this Johnny going to be the new Corey? Oh, Bananas isn't here. Is this guy the new Johnny? Like, and then literally they go out a few weeks later and it feels like they played on the challenge in 1996 and people wouldn't know them if they walked in the room. So I feel like, you know, it's rare that, and obviously it comes with a lot of bumps and bruises, but you guys, I think, have had as big of a season as anybody. And when people look back on the season, whether you guys end up taking the whole thing home or not, this will be remembered, I think, as the Horacio season and the Olivia season, in addition to whoever comes out on top. Obviously, winners are often remembered and challenge championships are often tallied, and you talk about those for years and years. But in a given season, there's always 26 other people that you sort of forget about over the years, unless they go on impressive elimination runs. And there was a season called the Gauntlet 2, where I will tell you right now, there's about 8 people who won that season, and nobody could tell you who won it, but they remember that Derek went in there and won 5 eliminations. Or went into 5 eliminations or whatever it was in one of the best elimination runs ever. So sometimes these opportunities that are obviously frustrating and you don't want to go in a million times, and you especially don't want to go in a million times, win, and have the people come right back in the next day. But I mean, as far as if you do want to build a legacy in this game, get called back for future seasons and have the internet and the fan base like on your side, I mean, this is the way to do it, my friend. So you have definitely had the ample opportunity, and you have made the most out of that opportunity and done all of it with a smile, by the way, and not complained about any of it, which is phenomenal. So
no, yeah, thank you for that. I like, at the end of the day, I wouldn't change a thing, you know, even though like you said, it was tough and all this, but yeah, it gave me the tools to like show who I am as a person, as a competitor. And like, it was the perfect season in a sense. And I wouldn't change anything. Like you said, it was absolutely amazing. And hopefully once this is all over, people can look back and be like, yeah, you know, Olivia and Horacio, like they came out and they showed out. You know what I mean? So yeah, I'm so thankful that it happened the way it did.
So it kind of feels like, you know, how Justin Fields was chasing the all-time rushing record. Right. And he's got like 1 week. It doesn't matter who the comparison is with. But what, you know, what it feels like is we got an athlete here who's chasing the all time record, and he's only got about 2 more games to do it. Right. And he's really close. He's like right there. So I'm really curious to see if you're going to go into 6 eliminations. If you're going to go 6-0 and she's going to go 5-0, also tying the record, like there's still room for that, especially being the only rookie pair here. I'm curious, like, you know, have you now gained the respect from the people up top? Are you guys going to win one of these to keep you out of it? How this is all going to shake out? But I'm excited to see it. Welcome to the challenge, my friend. You've made quite the mark here in this season 38 of Ride or Dies and in challenge history.
No, thank you so much. It's definitely it's been amazing.
Do you still live in El Paso?
Yeah. So right now I'm here in El Paso. I'm trying to find a place to, I want to buy a house this year. So I'm looking to, I don't know. I really like Colorado. So maybe I go live in Colorado. I don't know.
By the way, you make every city and state sound a lot cooler. Cause I say Colorado, you say it again the way you said it.
Colorado.
There you go. I mean, come on. So I just looked it up because, of course, I'm such an idiot. I hear Texas. I'm like, ooh, Texas. We are going to be doing our Challenge Mania live show in Texas this August at the House of Comedy in Plano, Texas. Don't worry if you're listening to this. We have not put tickets on sale yet. But I just went and looked it up, and El Paso is actually 9 hours from there. So I forget how big Texas
it's
is.
Huge. Yeah.
closer to Phoenix, which I think we are going to at some point do Phoenix as well. But either way, maybe it's not a car ride for you, but being a representative of the great state of Texas, if you are still living around there or whatever, we would love to have you if you're around this August. We've already got quite the lineup compiled. We've got some maybes who have to work on their schedule, but it's August 19th. We're going to be coming. It's kind of you probably know it as well, but it's kind of the greater Dallas area. We're going to be doing the House of Comedy in Plano for our return to Texas. We have not been there since, I believe it was February 2019, we did Austin. So Texas has been lying in wait. We were supposed to do Dallas in August 2020. And of course, that entire year got kind of swiped away by the pandemic. So we're excited to be back. Tickets will be on sale in February. But we'd love to have you if you're around. So formally inviting you here on the air to put you on the spot.
No, yeah. And formally accepting as well. If I'm Go ahead.
I was just gonna say I think it'll be quite the reunion. There's a lot.
We've already got somebody from your cast confirmed. So
okay,
someone who I think you get along quite well with, even if your partner might not get along with him anymore. but yeah, we'll talk. And I know, obviously, I looked at 9-hour drive. Maybe there's I don't know how else you get from El Paso to Plano or Dallas, maybe a plane or something. We'll figure it out for you. So we'll make it happen. We'd love to have you on that show. And we get a lot of, I'll tell you this, man, when it comes to like assessing how popular a rookie is, it is very infrequent that we get requests to bring people to our live shows that are rookies. Normally, like, it's, you know, hey, bring the favorites, bring the OGs, bring the people we've been watching on TV for years. But much like a lot of people have been requesting Olivia and Norris and some other people, we get a lot of requests to bring Horacio to cities all around the United States. So that is a feather in your cap as well. People, you've already won over America. So, and it's not just abs, I don't think. I think it's the smile and the competitive nature as well. So I think people are very excited to meet you whenever we can make it happen.
Oh yeah, no, let's make it happen. I'm excited to meet all of them as well. So it'd be fun.
Let's do it.
That's all I got, man. Dude, Horacio, thanks so much for being here. Dude, good luck with the rest of the season and everything else that you have going on in life. Don't be a stranger. Hit me up if you need any advice on any of this mayhem.
For sure. No. Well, thank you guys once again for having me. We definitely hopefully I didn't take too much of your guys' time. Because I know once I get talking, I could actually talk even though I'm quiet. But thank you guys so much. And it's been a pleasure. And hopefully this only continues.
We love it. Thank you, brother. You got anything you want to plug before we let you go?
I don't know what you mean by that.
Challenge next Wednesday night. Find out if I'm going 6-0, bitches.
I'll plug it for you. You can follow him on Instagram. Horacio Gutierrez Jr. Is on Instagram. Follow him there. I don't know. Sometimes you have anything you want to plug and somebody goes on for 20 minutes about vitamins and this and health classes and everything like that. So we want to give you the chance, but follow him on Instagram.
I busted my finger doing that for you. Damn it.
No, you guys did great. You guys did it for me. I didn't know what you meant by that. So, I mean, thank you guys.
Yeah, well, some people use it, some people shout out this, that, whatever, who knows, but yeah, a lot of people, we like to give people the chance because you gave us your
normal
time. We
want
to.
He's normal,
I'm a regular person. I don't have anything I want you to do. Me, I just want to talk about the show I'm on. No, you're the best. All right, brother, we appreciate you, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Well, once again, thank you guys. Have a good one.
Thanks, man. Bye. All right, D, there he is, the rookie standout, maybe the MVP overall of this season, Ride or Dies. What'd you think?
That was awesome. I mean, you know, we had, you know, people may say that he's, you know, boring or this or that. I mean, I think, first of all, it's just shitty when you start, you know, throwing that up in people's faces. But this dude has been, you know, the entire package, I feel like, from front to back. He's been in every shitty situation like we just talked about. Beginning to end. We have no idea how it's exactly going to end, but, it could be with the Challenge Championship, you know, one of the most, you know, illustrious Challenge Championships that we've ever seen. Get on the Horacio ride if you haven't already been on it.
Yeah, we've all been on it. I am very curious to see how he does in the Challenge Mania awards. I mean, I think Rookie of the Year, maybe a shoe-in, Elimination of the Year, as you mentioned, but I wouldn't be surprised if some people are throwing him love as Challenger of the Year. Who knows? At least it may be Male Competitor of the Year. He could run away with that as well. So if you want to be a part of putting together the nominees with us, you're going to get to Zoom with myself and Derek and all active Diesel level patrons in February. Head to challengemaniacs.com. That's where you can be a part of all the fun. And then after that, all patrons will be able to vote for the 2022 Challenge Mania Awards. We're just waiting for Ride or Dies to wrap up, and then we are going to do all that with you. All right, D, that's all I got. Let's go. About to start the weekend. You might be listening to this on a Monday, but we are, of course, recording this a couple of days early on a Friday. If you were a member of the Pod Squad, you listened to this on Friday, but just one of the many perks along with the Ride Along podcast and other stuff we provide over at ChallengeManiacs.com. So, D, en route to what is hopefully a fun weekend, what is hopefully a winning weekend for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Hopefully you guys are not listening to this on Monday saying, they didn't win, Scott. Maybe you are. Who knows? But what do you got? I'll give you the last word, as always.
Well, we didn't shout out to, you know, all the other teams that are in the playoffs. So to everyone that's got a team still in the game, good luck to you this weekend. And, you know, if you're listening to this on Monday, I hope you have a great week. I hope you had a great weekend. I hope you have an even better month. And patrons, if you are still listening to this, you know, we appreciate you more than anything. Looking forward to this Challenge Mania Award season once this is all said and done.
All right, guys, this ends your time here on Challenge Mania. Take care of yourselves, and hopefully we'll see you in the future.
The Challenge Mania shop is open. Head over to challengemania.shop today for the best way to support the podcast while looking good doing it. New designs and items added every few weeks. Maniacs, time to mobilize. Check out challengemania.shop today.